The physical differences between my son and daughter grew as rapidly as they did. My son has always been much denser. His torso is sturdy as a brick, with a heft that my daughter never had, even with 3 years on him. So when he lost about 4 pounds during his 3-week bout of strep throat, the lightness of his body afterwards scared me as much as his wheezing did when he was sick. But even at the emergency room, I didn't think the outcome would be anything terribly dire. We can fix him. We have the technology. Right? It's easy to fall into the mental trap that medicine and modern treatments can treat or fix what ails us. As a culture, we're keen to push aside our impending death. And unless we're sick, we also like to believe that we are invincible against mundane things like the slow creep of a persistent illness. It's a hubris that enables us to make choices from a platform that glorifies the ease of health. A quote from writer Melissa Fabo's column titled, "What If the Pain Never Ends?" sums it up, quote, "We can choose to what extent we want to indulge in the fantasy that wellness is a condition we have somehow earned, instead of an ephemeral luck that is guaranteed to run out," end quote. I'm fond of the idea that you can make your own luck, however, I'm not going to go at an illness alone if a vaccine is available. When it comes to a talk of vaccine hesitancy, I've seen it meander into a proud outright refusal and then take a sharp turn at the corner of conspiracy and sheeple. Those conversations make me wonder about the former power of our herd. Has it been too long since we lived through a hard look at our shared mortality? Has it been so long that it makes us doubt vaccine success with chipping away illnesses that maim or steal our children? Maybe we're not listening hard enough to our elders. Noreen Dresser, folklorist and former writer of Los Angeles Times column Multicultural Manners, decided in her 80s to move to my desert town, and I've been lucky to get to know her. She wrote recently about her experiences with the summertime fear of polio and how she decided to vaccinate her then 4-year-old son when she could. 10 days after she did, his nursery school went on a field trip. Quote, "Approximately 2 weeks later, 3 of the nursery school children began exhibiting polio symptoms, fever, headache, neck stiffness, pain in the arms and legs, weakness, vomiting, paralysis. The nursery school shut down. Not only did the children become infected, but they also passed the virus on to siblings and parents," end quote. When my son had strep throat, I was worried about the rest of the family getting it. During a work outing, I decided on a temporary 2-mask system. Someone who had already debated the merits of masks with me chuckled and pointed it out. "We doing that now?" he asked. "I don't know," I said. "Did you want maybe strep throat?" He took a step back, silenced. Perhaps he already knew about strep. Dresser was also happy to hear that her 4 grandchildren had been vaccinated against things like mumps, measles, and chickenpox. Quote, "These were damaging, sometimes fatal diseases of their parents' childhoods," she wrote. "Thus, they were spared." From my so-called millennial life, I'm Cassie McClure.